Welcome back to In the Studio. This is John Mellencamp.
And I'm Redbeard. By 1989's album Big Daddy, John Mellencamp had a string of four multi-platinum albums in a row and filled arenas on a nightly basis. But privately, he had just given away his daughter's hand in marriage. His own second marriage was ending in divorce. He became a grandfather, and the big 4-0 was looming dead ahead. You can hear the disillusionment in our 1989 interview.
And I'm sure a lot of people have this idea of, well, who I am and what I am. But usually it's not right. Usually it's really, really wrong. Matter of fact, when I got divorced, I kind of hung around in the art studio for about a year, and then I decided to start going out with girls again, right? So I started going out with this girl right here, and she didn't even want to go out with me because it was like, well, he's married and got kids, and he just, you know, I didn't sound like much like a fun guy, I guess, you know. Well, I mean, got kids and married and, you know. So you take on this, you know, people have real funny ideas about what, people think I'm a political person. Which one is the elephant? I don't know. Who's the donkey and who's the elephant? I don't even know that, you know. But I'll tell you, you know, and it's not just me. I was having a conversation. It sounds funny, but I was talking to Bob Dylan one day, and he looked at me, and he goes, do you think I'm a political guy? And I go, well, I wouldn't know, Bob. I mean, yeah, we're doing a song called Political World. He goes, yeah, but I'm not. You know, he says, all my career, people have thought I was really involved in politics. He said, I could give a shit, you know, could really care less. And it's not that I could care less. I have my opinion about politics. The funniest thing to me is that people think I'm the keeper of the small town. You know what I'm saying? Well, you really champion small towns and across America. I wrote one song. And everybody thought that, you know, well, hell, this guy, you know, he's all about small towns. I'm not really.
Pop Singer by John Mellencamp, originally on his 1989 album Big Daddy.
And a lot of people really took that the wrong way. You know, it was like, Well, now what's the deal with Mellencamp? Isn't he, is he against pop music? See, and that's not even what the song's about. But because, you know, maybe I didn't write the song well enough, maybe they didn't listen well enough, I don't know. But there was a lot of miscommunication about that song. And all I'm saying in that song is that I don't want to live in a pop culture. I like things to be real. I think it's much better when you go down to the corner and you get a house burger from some greasy place as opposed to having to pay homage to McDonald's. I mean, you know, let's face it, the pop world has created a situation where McDonald's sells their wares by, here's their slogan, let's don't forget it, guys, 60 million sold today. Has nothing to do with quality or anything like that. It only has to deal with volume and money. And see, I just think that's sad that in the 80s, this is what we've come to. We don't care about quality. How much does it cost and how much does it sell? And that's all pop singers really saying. And I think if most people, if I'd have written it better or phrased the song differently, people would have got it and they would have agreed. But some people were offended by that song. But I really can't help that, you know. I mean, I wrote the song and I live by that song. And I'm sorry that some people misunderstood it. No, I never was putting down the pop music, so to say, but I would rather be a rock and roll singer. You know the difference between rock and roll and pop, right? Rock and roll was serious. Pop was light and lighthearted. And and that's the only comparison I'm saying. Hey, I'm not a pop singer. I'm a rock and roll singer. You know, that's all I was saying.
She don't need him between the sheets. She ain't gonna sleep on the edge of the bed for no stinking man. That's the way that she lives, cause I saw her last night pouring water on a drowning man in the moonlight. Saying, howdy, 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 brother. Howdy, howdy, hey, now, mother. Howdy, 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 sister. Say what, hey, you, look out, mother. Martha says she don't need conversation walking down the hall. Man, now ain't that the truth? Cause I saw her take a bite at some macho dude laying some cornball line on her last night. I said, howdy, 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 brother. Howdy, howdy, ho, now, Martha. Howdy, 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 sister. Say what? Hey, you, look out, Martha. Thinking man making no decisions for her.
And I hear songs on the radio to this day, and I hear them, and I go, that song's not done yet. Well, like I paint, you know, now, and, you know, paintings are never done. You know, I'll go back and start scratching around on some oil painting 6-7 months after it's been done and almost redo the whole thing sometimes. And music's the same way. I mean, I hear like, I hear Paper and Fire on the radio, for an example. I think, God, I should have done this here and done this here, you know, made a much better song. And I think anybody that creates anything, you know, nothing's ever done. And I've never been satisfied with anything in my life. From the way I live to the type of songs I write to the pictures I paint. And let's face it, I'm just a song and dance man. You know, I'm just here to entertain you. I don't know what it is, but for some reason people think that, you know, guys in bands should be stupid. And, you know, I've always hated that. But then the minute that they find out you're not, that you will approach other topics than ooh, baby, ooh, baby, then all of a sudden they expect you to justify everything you say and have your reason why. And a lot of times, man, I mean, you know, you just believe things sometimes because you believe them. You know, I believe this to be true, whatever. And you may find out it's not true. You may find out it is true. But at a point in your life, I mean, even as we said here today, you believe stuff that you really can't validate, and so do I. Call it faith, call it whatever. But the minute, you know, you start writing songs, you got some guy going, what took you so long to get around to this? Well, I didn't know it was my job. You know, hell, I thought I was playing in a bar 3 weeks ago, and I was doing okay doing Satisfaction by the Stones. You know, what's so political about that?
Somewhere the other two, they both got themselves a van together, 1972-4. Rode around all night long, playing music very loud, big noise all time, the legends in the town. Moments in time together, moments in time between two friends, stand on the street corner with their shirts unbuttoned, yeah, it's moment in time they swore to friends to the end. Couple of wild, wild boys, they told me they could hear the grass grow. Theo used to say, hey, Henry, man, I'm screwing this cat, you're just holding it. I never knew what they was talking about, but they laughed like they both thought it was funny. Theo and Weird Henry chasing after something, and neither one of them believing in nothing. Moments in time, it's yet together. Thought themselves the he-man, women love was club. Thumb Popeyes against the wall just to get some attention. Yeah, it's a moment in time, it's for the friends until the end. out there living it up, doing a little earth shaking somewhere. Henry sent a postcard from a better place, but I can see them both sitting there laughing, breathing. And I can still see that smile on Whit Henry's face. Moments in time, they shed it together. Moments in time between two friends, dancing on that old van with the shirts wide open. And there's a moment in time I swore that blood froze until the end.
Life has become, to me, very, very complicated, and I don't understand things anymore. I mean, as a young person, I assumed a lot of things to be true, and now they're just not true anymore. And so it's hard to live and base, as an adult, base responsible decision making on falsehoods. You know, I mean, I don't assume this, but just for this conversation, I assume that I trust the government. Well, I don't. You know, but I can't. How do you even vote for a president when you don't trust the system, you know? I assume that I trust that the schools are educating my kids. Well, I don't, you know. I mean, there's just so many things that you just take for granted as a young person that just simply aren't true. I assume that it's like, it's important that I have green hair and listen to such and such band. Well, it's not, you know. I mean, bad news, that stuff doesn't matter. You know, spending time trying to be hip is okay when you're a kid. But at a certain point, it's just time-wasting. It doesn't really mean anything. And ultimately and finally, you end up like everybody else, which is like a sad scenario for some people. I remember when I was in 1967, I had hair down to my belt, and I was letting my freak flag fly, you know. But ultimately and finally, when I was in college, I looked around, and damn, so is everybody else. They're letting their freak flag fly. We're all freaks, you know? And then it dawned on me, you know, no, we're not. We're just all aping something that we saw on TV. You know, and then you got to start getting down to serious business. You got to start looking at yourself as an individual. Clothes and hair and the types of music you listen to don't make you. The type of car you drive up in has got nothing to do with the type of person you are. And I think when you start dealing with those realities, that's when life gets very confusing. You know, hopefully through my middle years, I'll be able to come to some kind of realization. To me, it's exciting because I'm always challenging and questioning myself. But as far as knowledge, I don't know anything. I mean, I don't know nothing for sure.
Is this your life, Jackie Brown? Poorly educated, forced to live on the poor side of town. Is this your daughter, Jackie Brown? This pretty little girl in worn-out clothes that have been hand-me-down. Your wife, Jackie Brown, with sad and blue eyes, walking on eggshells so you don't see her frown. Is this your family, Jackie Brown? Dream of vacation in the mountains, and giving the world. Ugly truths, freedom brings, and it hasn't been very kind to you. This is your life, Jackie Brown. is your meal, Jack and I. Barely enough, I've seen people throw more than the sign. This is your home, Jackie Brown. This three-room shack with no running water and the bathroom right there. Your grave, Jackie Brown. This little piece of limestone that says another desperate man take himself out. This is your dream, Jackie Brown. Going nowhere, nowhere fast. We shame ourselves to watch people like this live.
Everybody in this nation's responsibility to try to understand how democracy works and what it's about. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know everything about everything, because I don't. But I do know that you have got to, like, at least be able to watch the news. I don't trust the news. I don't know about you. I mean, I don't believe everything that the guy on NBC or CBS or ABC says to me at 7 o'clock, because I realize that we're being inundated with things that are, like, not completely true. Because, you know, who is this for? Is the news always this bad? I mean, do we always have to hear the bad news? Give us some good news. But it's like, that's how they close the show now. Well, a bit of good news for the day. What the hell? How about a little bit of good news in the middle, you know? But I mean, it's our responsibility to look at what people say. I mean, and people are going to say, well, John, that was money that was donated. Well, damn, if you can get it donated for an inauguration, why can't you get it donated to get the homeless off the street? Why can't you get it donated to up the unemployment benefits? Why can't you get it donated to help the welfare benefits? But see, people don't want to think about that stuff because we all got our own phone bill to make. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, I got nothing to do with that. I'm just trying to squeak by myself. And that is true. I understand that. I'm trying to squeak by myself. Every day's hard. But the bottom line is that collectively, it is Americans' responsibility to run America. Don't forget, it's for the people, by the people. But it's not anymore, see? Democracy, what those guys are writing about 200 years ago, it's got little or nothing to do with the way it is now. And to me, that's wrong. And I'm being cheated, and my kids are being cheated, and so are you. You know, I hate to sound like a cliche, but, you know, look, being human is a very humbling experience. I mean, because we have the minds of gods, you know. We're able to think many, many beautiful thoughts about the way things should be, but we can very rarely live those thoughts. That's just the way people are. I mean, we have the minds of gods, but we act like animals. And that's basically, I think that anybody that doesn't see that in themselves hasn't examined themselves very closely. And to me, that's just a very obvious truth and observation that I made at the time.
Walked a crooked mile, got no money in his pocket, did it all with a very handsome smile. Now he's living it up in a great big office. He ain't gonna help no poor man. He ain't gonna help no poor man. He ain't gonna help no poor man. He's just gonna help his rich friend. Yeah.
gentlemen when we see them on TV. Glad-handed folks are chatting to the nation. We never knew what really to believe. Just a word upon slogan with emotional connection. And in the papers, all we'd ever read is so-and-so big shot signed his resignation. Now, country gentleman, he wants us to believe that he's kind and honest with the best intention. He ain't gonna help no poor man. He ain't gonna help no children. He ain't gonna help no women. He just gonna help his little bones and threw it in a stew. And got it, went back to California.
He ain't gonna help no poor man. He ain't gonna help no children. He ain't gonna help no women. He just gonna help his new friend.
Well, yeah, it is, and I said it from the stage. I mean, it's like the private sector is now paying the price for the Reagan years. And, you know, Farm Aid really, I mean, as you can see, the first Farm Aid we did, we had maybe 100,000 people there. But it was the mid-'80s, and the private sector had money. And, you know, the government has raped the and pillaged the land. And so, consequently, what is it, like 40,000 people out there? And people just don't have the money for anything. They can't even make their own bills, and I think it's a shame. And this election that's coming up, I mean, you know, I don't know who the hell, who you gonna vote for. I know who I'm not gonna vote for, but you know, they make it so damn hard for us to vote, Beard. Why can't we vote by telephone? If you could vote by telephone,
everybody would vote.
Okay, now that's the problem. If everybody voted, the middle class and the lower income people would be able to vote. They wouldn't have to be able to, like, you know, have to get off work. They just vote first thing in the morning and it's done. But then guess who wouldn't get elected? Those rich assholes, right, who have run, you know, as far as I can see, run a lot of this country. I mean, it's up to the highest bidder right now.
We're talking with John Mellencamp backstage after his performance at Farm Aid 5. There was a time in an interview not too long ago when you mentioned to me that you even had some questions about the Farm Aid movement, whether or not it was effective or whether maybe collectively we were pissing in the wind. Did you have some questions?
Well, I still have questions. You know, I mean, I know what Farm Aid does. I know what the money go for. It's turned into like a crisis center. It's still good, but like I said, you know, the problems have like gone beyond the farm crisis now. It's like in the streets. It is in the streets of America. And it's because, you know, I wrote a song called Country Gentleman, and it was about 10 years in politics. And I had a guy ask me, why did you write a song about Reagan after he's not in office anymore? I said, because we are not going to feel the effects of that guy until the mid-90s, and then we're going to pay for it.
At John Mellencamp's modest home studio in rural Indiana, hanging on the wall in a simple frame amidst nearly two dozen platinum awards, is an uncashed songwriter royalty check with his name on it, dated December 1977, in the amount of $27.59. I asked John, why?
Well, I figured that, you know, it's there to remember where it starts. You know what I'm saying? This is where it starts, at $22.50. And that was probably, maybe not my first one. My first one might have been for $7, and I needed the money so bad I cashed it, right? But that one, I just didn't cash. I figured, well, you know, if this is, at the time, what I was thinking, if this is all I'm going to ever get from the music business is $22.50, I better hang on to it. So I just kept it, as opposed to cashing it.
So I can understand why you kept it then. It was pretty far-sighted of you. Why do you keep it prominently displayed now?
I don't know. I just think it belongs there with the rest of it. You know, you can't tell a story, like I was talking earlier, and leave the good stuff out, or the best part. You know, the gold records, the platinum records, that's all the glaring, oh, that impresses people. You know, they see that and they go, oh, well, look at that. But, you know, what impresses me is it has always been the struggle up the hill. Not once you get there. Hell, there ain't nothing to do when you get there except stand and look around. You know, and that don't take you no place. Just back down the hill. So for me, it's a reminder of what it took to get these records. It also reminds me that showing up is not enough. You know, when you show up, you got to do something.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Let's eat!